Hello and welcome to the Mad Hatter Cast. My name is Matt.
My name is Dave.
My name is Jeff.
And we are here again on this wonderful, somewhat night where the day before we post this crap, talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 3, The Power Broker. But before we get to that,
the best episode so far.
It is the best episode. But before we get to that, we should probably talk about the news that's coming out about, first, Black Widow finally has a concrete release date.
Bullshit. They're going to change it again.
No, they won't. Because now Premiere...
They're going to do that to me.
Premiere Access is a thing for that. And we have July 9th, 2021. We'll be able to see it in theaters or at our houses on Disney Plus.
Matt, I'm going to Kingston July 9th.
If I'm still here.
Where else are we going to go? Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Well, even the Regal and Crossgates, I don't even think is open. Yeah, right
I don't
now.
Think it's open close. Yet either.
So but, it's either Kingston or Pittsfield.
I mean, we can make the trip to Kingston because it's a good theater. It's a really nice theater.
I'm going to watch it at home and drink the booze I already have.
What if we go to Jeff's house?
Dude, just come to my house.
Oh, I could bring the projector.
Dude, we could bring our mics. We could do a live.
I run an AV company. Oh. I have projectors, man.
Perfect. What if we did a live episode of reactions while we watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the couch in the studio. We'll put up a screen.
I like that idea. So anyways, you'll get a live episode of Black Widow. But anyways, we got the trailer drop, and we got to see young Natasha with blue hair with red roots.
Is that her?
I'm assuming that's her, because it's not Yelena or whatever her sister in quotations name.
It would make more sense to show a young Black Widow than it would to show a young Yelena.
But the cool thing about the trailer is we get scenes from all the movies that she was in, but if you notice, the focal point is on her instead of all the other Avengers. They're all blurred out, so it's just on her.
I thought it was a pretty cheap way of making a trailer and calling it another full-length trailer, though, because it was just cut-up pieces of movies we've already seen for the first half of it.
The other thing is, I think her monologue after she's already dead. Like, she mentions the fact that, like, I mean, I don't think she mentions it, but
I think part of it too.
She does talk about the fact that, like, this is my life before I died.
Part of it too is that people had to remind Marvel had to remind us who Black Widow was, because it's now going on a year and a half since the original release date.
Yeah.
Who is she?
She's that redhead that was in Iron Man 2.
Right.
And then she was in a couple other movies. She wasn't a huge character. You know, she was kind of like...
She's about as rememberable as all of the Star Treks combined.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Okay.
But...
Is she the only woman to have worked with Joss Whedon to not accuse him of harassment? Is that who she is?
That we know of.
Accused is the key word there. She hasn't accused him yet.
Yeah. Because we got the news today, which I sent in the group chat, of Gal Gadot. And I'll read the quote because it's a good one. It's a really good one.
Read the quote.
I got to open it up real quick. So the picture I sent was straight from, I believe, THR, through IGN. It said, Joss was bragging that he had it out with Gal. He told her he's the writer and she's going to shut up and say the lines, or he could make her incredibly stupid in the movie. It was an undisclosed witness during the Justice League production. And this is why Zack Snyder should be allowed to restore the Snyderverse, because Joss Whedon should be hung in public for all of us to watch.
I think Zach should be left separate from this. We don't want to taint him with Joss's anything anymore.
Yeah, because it's pretty well known that we're going to talk about the Snyderverse until we get the full okay from the WB and HBO Max.
No, you're going to talk about the Snyderverse.
Because it was a masterpiece.
And I'm going to be like, I'm not going to watch it until it's free on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, agreed.
Or I could just let you use my HBO Go or Max login, and you guys can watch the 4-hour opus. that is.
I think I still use your login on Amazon Prime anyway. It's funny. It always says, are you logging in as Matthew? Even though it's my account, we didn't change your name on it because it's your old PlayStation.
Oh, that's right. It's the old PlayStation. I was what? Because every once in a while I'll get like, hey, you're signing in on this thing. And I'm like, oh, okay.
What? I am? Oh. Yeah, that's us. Hopefully that's us.
I forgot that you guys have my old PlayStation.
If it ever goes, hey, thank you for your purchase, it's just that we're downloading something new on it and not like buying anything. Don't worry.
Don't care. Anyways.
All of my audio equipment I ordered through Matt's Prime account.
Yeah. That explains it.
He lives in the church basement. That's my fault.
Yeah. So we also got the trailer for Loki, which I'm more excited to talk about that than Winter Soldier at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Maybe.
It's because David doesn't know.
David, get out.
David doesn't know.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
You just wanted to see Mephisto in it, and we didn't get any glimpses of Mephisto in it, so
he's
bored.
That's why I'm pissed.
So we did get the Living Tribunal, at least allegedly. Yep.
That's what it looks like.
We did get, it's up for contention. A lot of people are saying it's either Natasha or it's Lady Loki. There's a scene.
It's neither of them. It's someone else.
I think it's Lady Loki because she's confirmed for
it. No, it is Lady Loki. I can't remember her real name.
I don't remember it either.
It's not Natasha, though, because it's not actually the Soul Realm or
No, but it looks
that planet.
It looks like Vormir. Like, if you look quick, it's, like, I saw a looks, screen grab of it, and I was like, oh, it looks kind of like Vormir.
Quickly, it looks like Vormir, but the light isn't right. Nothing is permanently eclipsed,
No. So
it's not Vormir.
No, it's
not.
Wait.
So my theory that me and Jeff had, that Loki comes back and steals Natasha from Vormir before she falls to her death, and then that's part of the timeline, is that not?
She has to die to get the stone.
Yeah.
So he will have to return
her
anyway.
But the whole Black Widow thing could be her, Loki stealing her from her death and then returning her to die.
What a dick.
Maybe
that's part of his arc, though, where he's like, whoa, you're still going to do this even though I saved you? She's like, yeah, I have to.
Yeah, well,
and maybe then he becomes good Loki. Well, yeah, maybe then he becomes good Loki. The Loki.
Well, this is the
love.
Thing.
Yeah.
You got to remember the Loki that grabbed the Tesseract in Endgame was Avengers 2012 Loki, and he was a full-on villain.
We need to see an arc, and that might be a way to go about it.
So what I'm thinking is that Mobius and Mobius, the guy from How I Met Your Mother.
That's your best reference.
Ted Mobius was the architect firm that he started because it was Ted Mosby. Anyways, somebody out there that's listening will get that and laugh at it. You guys are uncultured.
That's the
no one's
that's
laughing.
The dumbest
no
joke
one's
ever.
Laughing.
Because I'm like, no, Owen Wilson was not in How I Met Your Mother.
No,
that's where
it
I
was
went.
The, I was going for the name. I wasn't going for the, wow.
Mosby and Mobius aren't even close, man.
Well, wow. His architecture firm that he created was Mobius Designs.
Okay.
It was stupid.
Sure.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I feel like that he's going to walk them through because there's a theater scene in the trailer where they're in like one of the amphitheaters in Georgia where they were filming. And I think they're going to walk them through every crappy thing that he did. And he's going to be like, wow, I'm a piece of garbage. What can I do to fix this?
He already has to go
this?
Through everything he's said.
Yeah.
So.
Which that was a great scene. He's like, here's everything
perfect,
you said. And he goes, he said something like, this is absurd. And then another piece of paper prints out.
It's absurd.
But like, I think that's a short stack of pieces of paper that for everything that's Loki said for the 1,000 years he's been alive.
It could be that it's printed in very small type the whole way down and double-sided. And then, like, they printed it.
It's magic
and then
paper.
And they're like, oh, you had to say one more thing? Oh, fuck you. We're going to print another one.
But I think that's really what's going to happen with this thing is that it's going to be a walk down memory lane, and it's going to be a redemption arc more than what he's already been through up until Endgame. Because you have the explanation that the bald chick from Doctor Strange. What's her name?
Ayinde?
The ancient one?
No.
The ancient
one. The bald chick? Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the girl from Black Panther.
No,
my bad.
No, we'll get to her in a minute.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton. She explained it like when you pluck an Infinity Stone out, the timeline diverges and it goes branches off.
Quick, yeah.
But they showed it where like him taking the Tesseract screwed everything up. So I think that was pretty cool. But we'll see. I think it's June 11th. I think is the premiere date for that one.
Wow, so we have a couple of weeks between Falcon, Soldier Boys.
Well, we have and Bad Loki. Batch, which...
Oh, I don't care about Star Wars cartoons.
It's because you've never watched Season 7 of The Clone Wars.
Yeah,
it's because I couldn't get through Season 1 of The Clone Wars.
No, Jeff, this is what we're going to do. This is our homework for the next couple months.
The podcast. You have
I'm going to send you a list of what to watch for Clone Wars.
I will do this. Actually, I'm building a Star Trek one for a friend. They gave me a spreadsheet to fill out with what episodes to watch and why.
That's a giant, so some of them colossal are like, waste of time. But
Some of them are like, this is a good episode for Picard's character development. And then like another one's like, this episode is so bad you have to see it. And that's most of them.
So with Clone Wars, there's 22 episodes per season, except for season 6 and 7. I think there's only 13. There's probably 25 episodes total that you need to watch for it, and it's specific arcs. So
I started watching some of the more recent ones because I expected it to grow with its audience.
It does.
And it does not.
No, it does. It depends on the arc.
Anakin has zero arc, and he works with... He has a little bit of growth, but he's still the arrogant piece of shit he is. Because
that's who he is. But season 4...
But then you still have Obi-Wan going, Anakin, don't! And then Anakin does, and he saves the day.
You didn't watch
the...
I will give you...
I've seen one episode.
Yeah, you've seen...
No, I saw the first season. I'll take that back.
You saw the first season, which was terrible. And then you saw probably one episode, which was a one-off, where Anakin was whiny Anakin. Because there's
it was part of the final arc after Ahsoka. Well, after Ahsoka's arc toward the end, it was one of those.
Like in the new season?
Because it's Star Wars. Yeah. It's Star Wars, so I understand what's going on. It's not like I don't know about the Clone Wars.
Yeah, but you're missing, because they tie into the Night Sisters, Maul.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I read all this stuff.
Yeah, you didn't. You read Legends. This is a little bit different.
No. I read all of this on Wikipedia, so I know what was going on.
Yeah. Trust me, I'll get you a list, and you need to watch it before.
The animation style is so stupid.
Oh, it's bad.
Lucasfilm.
It's bad.
Why would they do that? Why would you make something look like pre-rendered Shrek 1
if you have
all that money behind it?
You watched season 1. By season 3...
The new ones look like shit, too. It's terrible.
I disagree with you. The new ones are movie quality.
Dude, I can do... No. The effects are movie quality. The animation style is still trash.
To an extent, yeah. But...
Like, they don't look like humans. You have
a cartoon.
All this awesome stuff. Yeah, but it doesn't have to look that cartoony.
But it has to follow
suit.
And
they mess with the Star Wars theme, and they make it more syncopated to play to the kids. John Williams isn't dead, and he's rolling around in his grave.
Well, it's because they made it like wartime propaganda. That's how it all started.
It's not how the Star Wars goes. They did it in Rogue One, too, and that's my only issue with Rogue One.
Nothing,
is a little bit of the music.
There's nothing wrong with Rogue One, and we all
hey,
know
Jeff,
that.
Hey, Jeff, how do you feel about Last Jedi? Was that all right?
See, I wasn't around on this one. The first episode of my own podcast is just about this, and it's an hour and a half of me shitting on everybody, but... Kelly Marie Tran, but I hated her character.
Did Joss Whedon direct Last Jedi?
He might as well have.
You would think so.
He might as well have. Because apparently he took his threat against Gal Gadot for the entire Star Wars universe and made everybody look stupid.
They're going to make everyone look
Can we be honest and just call her Gal Gadot? Because that's really what her name is. Gal Gadot.
Is it not Gadot?
It's Gadot.
But there's a T at the end.
Yeah, it's Israeli. It's like whatever their language is.
That's fine. I'm an idiot, so it's Gal Gadot. Because that makes way more sense.
You know, we can just call her everyone's future wife because everyone loves her but Joss Whedon.
Oh, my God. She's wonderful. Yeah.
She's the best part about the DCEU, honestly. Her character, the way she plays Wonder Woman, is the best.
She might be the only reason I would watch the Snyder Cut. That might be the only reason.
When you guys watch, we need to do... I did my review, which is an episode a couple back. I loved it, but I'm also a DC fanboy through and through because I grew up mainly on DC, then switched to Marvel once, like, I figured out the X-Men were mutants and it was cool. But the... once you guys watch it, I guarantee you, you're going to get on the podcast. Other than you guys being the natural trolls that you are.
Yeah.
Is that... I'm not a natural troll. I'm a natural writer. I just had someone buy another one of my books, boy. That's 70 cents. Boom.
They were going to be severely disappointed.
That was me. I bought it to review it.
It wasn't, it wasn't Dream Stride, though. No, it wasn't that one. It was the other one.
Jeff, I plan on reviewing it on the podcast. I bought it so I could review it on the podcast. That's my review.
Trunks can eat cheeses because you bought it. It was a Dream Stride that you're doing, right?
I'm joking. I didn't buy it.
Yeah, nobody bought it. I hired somebody to buy the book.
I got my royalty check. I got my royalty check for 2020 yesterday. My check. It was
damn sure
like
ain't 2000. That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a better writer than most of the people that write the DC Universe movies.
True. Here's the thing.
Jim Lee.
Name.
Who the hell is Jim Lee?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know who Jim Lee is, you can't say that.
Wait. Ben Affleck. Name the last movie that was good that he was in. Like, name
Good Will Hunting.
The Town.
That was it.
Argo.
That was like 1994.
Gone. I think it's Gone Baby Gone. That was another good one he was in. I can name like 8 movies.
Oh, Argo. He was actually pretty good
in
Argo.
He was good in Argo. He was good in The Town. He was gone in Gone Baby Gone. He was,
you know what's funny?
He played the shit in Phantoms.
He played. Oh yeah, that movie was
Phantoms.
So bad.
Oh my god, I love.
He played
Phantoms.
Jack Ryan in The Sum of All Fears, and it was the worst adaptation of any Clancy story. Yeah, it was so bad.
So I didn't realize this. I actually read this today. I went down a rabbit hole. So Alec Baldwin played Jack Ryan. Then they recast him with Harrison Ford.
Interestingly. as much as I love Harrison Ford and don't like Alec Baldwin,
the Mad Hatter cast is now a Tom Clancy podcast.
It's literally now, everything film because we have ventured off into all.
It's just pop culture, I'm being a huge Clancy fan. I've read all of his books up until The Bear and the Dragon, probably 4 times each.
Yeah,
sometimes more.
God, get a life, dude. Get a life.
So
not a writer.
The Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games are like the first. Two. Patriot Games technically comes first chronologically.
And that's the one that Harrison Ford was in, right?
Yeah.
That's Harrison Ford, which is a better movie, I think. They had to change some things.
But Alec Baldwin looked like he was 25 and Harrison Ford looked like he was 45. Can you explain that?
Bad timing for making movies.
Oh,
the thing is,
Jack Ryan is immortal and he can shapeshift.
Alec Baldwin did a better job of portraying Jack Ryan than Harrison Ford did.
John Krasinski.
But is Krasinski better than Baldwin?
Yes.
They are doing a good job of adapting the character to a new time, and I think so, but they're sort of dumbing down the real-life situations a little bit. Like, there are departments within the CIA that don't actually exist.
Yeah.
They were doing a lot of things within realism in the original movies because they were based on actual source material. I will say they're keeping a lot of his backstory pretty contained, considering it's been 40 years.
Yeah.
Because the original Jack Ryan is a product of the Cold War. This Jack Ryan is a product of the Second Gulf War.
Gotcha.
So things have changed. But they're doing a good job with John. Season 1 was great. Season 2 was great. Season 3 will probably be fine. I hope they can somehow tie it in to Without Remorse with Michael B. Jordan.
That would be cool.
Because it's...
You were saying they were going to do that, weren't you?
Well, they're both on Amazon, so they should be able to do that. The problem is, Michael B. Jordan is younger than John Krasinski, and John Clark is older than Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
By 20 years, just about. Because John's going to college
when
you meet him in Without Remorse.
What happens in like the new Jack Ryan, John Krasinski, like elastics his arms around the villain? And we all go, this is an awful superhero. When does
And then
that
he makes
happen?
A weird face at the camera and we all laugh.
Yeah, but we have Jim from The Office. Yeah. But he's elastic and he can stretch his arms out beyond. I hate the Fantastic Four. The worst.
We know. I don't think we published that episode.
God,
the reason why you hate it is because you've never read the comics. You never read anything because there was an interesting.
If I read the comics, that would be salt on the injury. That would be
at least he has a superpower. Iron Man doesn't, but they're both geniuses.
Are you
kidding
me?
That's what his power is.
No, he would be better off just being a genius and inventing like cool equipment. Don't be elastic. Yeah. Don't stretch your arms.
He's an astrophysicist, I believe, or an aerospace engineer.
That's fine. Invent the Iron Man suit. Invent a suit. Invent something great. Don't be.
Well, the thing is he didn't have powers until a space mission went wrong with the four of them.
Okay, he's Stretch Armstrong. Let's just be honest. He's just Stretch Armstrong. That's garbage.
It sounds like David ate the goo inside of Stretch Armstrong. That's what that sounds like.
I said too. I've had way too many beers for this podcast. God,
great.
Well,
here we go.
We're like 30 minutes in, and we're just talking about everything. Okay, Loki is going to be great. Everything we've seen so far, it looks wonderful.
Yes.
They're going to tie some things in. They're going to fix some plot holes. They're going to show us D.B. Cooper. We've already talked about that.
Yeah. And it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be like they're going to mix the realism of Falcon and Winter Soldier and the craziness of Wanda into that.
Yep.
So let's get into the episode that we're actually here for.
It's going to tie into the multiverse too, probably.
Oh, for sure. Cuz
got to.
Time, it has to, cuz there's so many different timelines. David just left.
Whatever, it's fine. I'm here. I don't have a bathroom in the studio, so even if I have to pee, I just hold it.
He just pees himself. It's like, the dedication.
This was a little different.
The dedication. Anyway, so Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh,
jeez. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Episode 3, The Power Broker, premiered last Friday. I don't remember the date. Don't really care. It's on Disney Plus. Go watch it.
March 11th.
March 11th. Not like April Ludgate, who thought March 31st didn't exist, but
God, that was a great bit.
That was fantastic. Anyway, so we open the episode with the timely commercial that gave us triggering effects of WandaVision of the GRC, the Global Repatriation Committee, which is out to kind of reunify and set up borders, more defined borders after the blip, because it seems like when half the world goes away, people kind of meld together, and these guys are trying to get control of the world again. And
it reminds me of a Star Trek movie where, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. I almost just clicked everything off.
It's just the whole, like, all the people of Earth kind of like unify together to get through something. Though in the Star Trek universe, it's, we met aliens, and that brought humanity together because we're not alone.
I mean, if you go into Star Trek, they have the whole Federation, which is basically a unifying of all the systems.
This was what I was talking about before the Federation existed, though.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's the movie First Contact. It's actually the best.
It is the best movie.
The best one.
I think it's the best one. Anyways.
It's good.
So we have that commercial. It's very, like, we're here to help you. And stock footage of happy couples and sunsets and rainbows and everything, and then we cut to a police truck pulling up, and all of a sudden John Walker and Battlestar Hodgkins, I can't remember his first name, comes out with the shield and a full-on SWAT team to break into what looks like the same location that the Flag Smashers were being held at the last episode.
Yeah, I think so.
And we get a very
I
think it's the same guy. We get a very interesting scene with him where John Walker's interrogating him, and he spits directly in his face. And
the guy spits in John Walker's face.
Yeah, spits directly in John Walker's face, and we see what I've been waiting for now three episodes. The cracks are there. The cracks are forming, and John Walker is becoming more and more unhinged as these episodes go on. And now we're 3 out of 6. This is the third. We're halfway through. And we can see very quickly how poorly this is going to go for John Walker. Because he screams in his face, "Do you know who I am?" And the guy comes out and says, "Yeah, I know who you are, and I don't care."
Yep.
And then his little sidekick has to, like, kind of take him off the ledge from beating this guy with the shield.
So my theory on this is that he is going to find out about about the Power Broker. He's going to go to Emmett Ross. Is that the Thunderbolts? Everett. He's going to go to him and be like, hey, there's this guy, the power broker.
No, it's Thaddeus Ross. Everett Ross.
Thaddeus. Everett is Bilbo. Yeah. Great job, Marvel, having two people with the same last name. Definitely not a confusing thing for your naming convention.
Yeah, not at all.
Are they related at least?
We don't know yet. I don't think that they are, but it hasn't been really told. So I don't know.
It's a very lazy thing to do with a naming convention. I noticed it the other day because I was trying to figure out which one said what.
Exactly.
So and they're both generals, right?
No. One works for the CIA and the other one's
that's
a general.
What it is, yeah.
And so is he a general or is he higher?
I think he was a general when we met him, General Ross.
Yeah.
But he might be Secretary of Defense now.
He
or
might,
something
yeah,
like
something
that.
To that effect.
So my theory with the cracks starting to form with Walker is that he's going to go to Ross, be like, hey, I know you know who the power broker is. We need to find him to solve this, and he's going to try to get the serum for himself.
So, yeah, let's jump ahead a little bit like we normally do. So we go to Madripoor.
Nobody needs a recap. It's been 5 days.
Yeah, so we go to Madripoor. That's the main – so obviously we'll skim over the fact that Bucky and Sam break out Zemo, which was fantastic.
Oh, Jesus.
We can't skip over that because we all agree on this. Like, we actually agree on something. We can't skip it.
Oh, God.
They made it seem like it was, like, we have no more options, got to break them out.
Yeah.
They didn't even show them asking or a conditional release or anything because Ross would have been like, yeah, you know, we can let him out. And then Ross could start trying to get him in to be one of the Thunderbolts if they're going to move with that. Any even a throwaway phone call to Ross would have made it seem like they at least tried something else.
Yeah.
Instead, they went right to crime, and that is neither Bucky's new way, definitely not Sam's way of doing things.
Well, you
they
gotta,
didn't need to do it that way.
The thing is Sam was in the dark about it, too. So Bucky's at the point of desperation, and Sam had
then
no
Sam
idea.
Sam could have been like, Bucky, we didn't even ask if we could take him. They might have just said yes.
Yeah, probably not.
The CIA takes criminal. No, see, the CIA turns criminals and spies into their criminals and spies all the time.
David just dropped his phone. It was hilarious.
It's really funny. But like, they could have made it seem like a little bit of effort was had.
Yeah, but then it also doesn't give us that Ocean's 11 cool breakout scene.
No. Still give us the cool breakout scene, but show us that they tried to do it legitimately first instead of immediately becoming criminals.
I think
that's my problem.
Yeah, I agree. They probably should have done that because we all know that the Thunderbolts are probably coming at some point.
They got to.
At some
they
point,
have, they should.
At some point, they need to be in here. So the only way I could think of, because Zemo is a huge part of the Thunderbolts. He's basically the pseudo leader.
He's actually kind of going to be the Stark-esque character of the Thunderbolts.
Exactly.
He's got all the money, and he's a super spy. So that kind of makes it cool.
Let's talk about Zemo. So in Winter Soldier,
he's Nick Fury and Iron Man put together. That's awesome.
Yes. So they break out Zemo. It's a great scene. They should have given a little bit more exposition of them trying things, but they didn't. It's neither here nor there.
Listen to me wanting exposition. It's hilarious.
I know. Because I'm pretty sure we have audio of you saying that exposition is annoying.
When it's required, like here, and they would be showing us the exposition, it wouldn't be like, hey, I asked Ross, he said no. It could be him talking to Ross. That's all.
I think they're saving Ross for something else. Something
bigger.
Well,
this could have...
I don't think...
this could have been the little taste on your tongue of the thing bigger.
So anyways, they break him out. They go to Zemo's garage, and we see the purple mask for the first time. And we get the great line. He's like, Sam, I'm a baron. I am royalty. But the interesting thing is, I don't remember if it was here or if it was later in the episode, they talk about how Sokovia was broken up. Latvia took some of it, some of this. We got an interesting Dr. Doom seed planted there.
He's Latvian.
Exactly. So yeah. Latvia took over part of Sokovia, the whatever was left of it, and they end up in Latvia at the end of this episode.
Ooh, and if Sokovians have a predisposition for the X gene, which is sort of the thought, maybe they're going to turn Doom into a mutant.
Which is possible, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, because even the little inclination that Doom is around, I think we're going to get... Oh my God, here we go.
Anyways. I'm saying Doom is the new Mephisto.
Because the Fantastic Four have been announced. Yeah. We know that's going to happen.
Unfortunately.
The problem is that this was supposed to be the first release after Endgame. Was supposed to be that. Well, Black Widow and this.
As soon as the Fantastic jumps into, like, Fantastic Four jumps into the Marvel, I kind of want the Human Torch to set me on fire and kill me now.
I can't wait until we save this audio of David bashing the Fantastic Four, and he watches the movie and he watches when they get introduced, and he's like, "I was wrong."
Wrong.
He won't say.
I'm so stubborn. It could be phenomenal. It could be better than Star Trek.
He'll never say it on the podcast. He'll never say it on the podcast. But between the three of us alone, he's gonna be like, "Yeah, I was wrong." And I'm going to be freaking liar.
Matt, you know, I really hated the Fantastic Four, but that point in time where Reed Richards extended his arms beyond what he normally could and then wrapped that guy, like, that was the most phenomenal garbage that I've ever seen in my life. Fantastic Four is awful, dude. I mean, I love the way David explains it. It's so funny. I did, but I'm super sober.
It's like watching a 10-year-old try to explain quantum physics.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because that's like the lowest part of how cool Reed Richards is that he can extend his arms.
As an IQ of a 10-year-old, I can't seem to wrap my arms around this garbage of a concept. Is that a good reference? Wrap my arms
Richards
around.
Richards can.
He can.
But
you
Richards
know what?
Can.
I can wrap my arms around a garbage can. It's still garbage.
You want to know why?
Still garbage.
David, do you want to know why he has the dumbest superpower?
I would like to know. Yeah, tell me.
It's because he doesn't need a crazy awesome superpower because of how crazy intelligent he is.
Then why not build an Iron Man suit?
Because
we don't need another Iron Man.
We don't need another.
We're gonna have Iron Heart and we're gonna have War Machine. We don't need a
Tony Stark at this point.
Do we need a bubblegum man that can bubblegum his arms out?
Shut up.
Do we need
this? The past two nights I've watched Iron Man. I've watched Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. And I've realized, as much as I love Tony Stark, he is the most flawed character in the MCU.
That makes him the best character because he sacrifices himself.
Without his arc, he's not the best character.
No, he needed his redemption.
David,
oh my God.
His phone again.
Every time.
David, everybody.
Is it just like sitting on a pile of books, or do you have a stand or something?
No, I have a little clip, but it's.
So hold on.
I got it
hold
from
on.
Five Below, so,
so
it's barely holding my phone up.
Everything that you get from Five Below doesn't work.
So I watched Iron Man 1 the other night. I actually watched them both last night. I watched 1 and 2 back-to-back. And Iron Man 1 is a great movie.
You had time to watch that while we were supposed to podcast? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I went home and watched it. And when I finally got home.
Both? Iron Man 1 and 2?
Yeah, I don't...
Yo, I was up till 2 o'clock, man. We could have done this podcast yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Anyways.
I was relatively sober.
Anyways. Tony Stark is the worst character in the MCU. By
far. Garbage. Matt, hang up. Just hang up, dude.
Wait.
Me and Jeff are going to finish this podcast.
Like worst defined character, worst written character, or worst development worst person in the MCU.
Worst person in the MCU. Every single problem that happened in the MCU is mostly Tony's fault.
That's the
point. He's the worst protagonist.
He's the worst, but that's the point of him being the one who snapped.
He's also
the reason we have the worst Avengers movie, Age of Ultron.
It's the longest arc.
Joss Whedon.
No, garbage. Iron Man is the longest arc of being the worst character into the best. Like, it's the longest, large-reaching arc.
No, but he's saying, Matt, I think Matt's agreeing with you at his point.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with Matt. Matt was
the only reason we have 23 movies up until this point that came to a conclusion is the fact that Tony Stark is the worst human being in the world.
Or let's say was the worst.
Was the best.
One, he's dead.
Or the
Two,
best.
He became among the best, but Captain America was clearly a better person the whole time.
The whole time. And that's why my wife thinks he's boring, because he's too good.
Yeah, he's too good.
And that's why she married you, because you're the worst.
because I'm the worst.
You're gonna be Fat Tony Stark from now on.
I'm Fat Tony Stark. I'll take
it. Fat Tony Stark.
Until Deadpool's movie comes into the MCU, I'm Fat Tony Stark. Hopefully,
if Deadpool doesn't arrive at the battle scene of Endgame, going, "Oh my God, guys, sorry, I missed the fight. That merger took forever. I don't want to see it."
I still want to see it because it's going to be great. Because there's going to be some kind of time travel thing where it retcons him back into that stuff. But either way, I'm just saying that Tony Stark is the worst.
Can Josh Brolin play Cable and Thanos?
I hope so. I really hope
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So Paul Bettany
can play Vision and Jarvis, Vision. So why not?
Oh, my God. Can we not talk about the two Visions?
You all right there?
Yeah, I know. Are you okay?
I just hated the finale. You know that.
It's because you don't have a brain, but that's fine.
Or a heart.
I don't have a heart.
Or
I have
courage.
A brain.
You should.
I only have a brain. I do not have a heart.
What is grief if it's not love enduring?
Jesus. Exactly.
That part's okay.
I know that part's okay, because if you said that part was not okay, then we would have problems, because that was a fantastic part.
Then I wouldn't question the fact
I don't care about.
How many copies of your book have you sold? Because that would be the next question.
11.
Yeah, that would be the next question.
Anyways, so we get the Zemo breaking out. We get the backstory. We get an updated backstory of Zemo, where he was royalty. He's a baron. He's basically the Bruce Wayne Tony Stark of Sokovia.
Lex Luthor.
Ooh, there's some Lex Luthor.
There's a little bit of Lex.
I expected to be bored out of my mind by him. I really did.
Really? No, because if you go off of Ultron,
he kind of fell flat. He fell flat in Civil War for me. So I was like, really, I got to see more of him. But they did a great job.
They gave us a really convoluted.
He fell flat. Right, David. He fell flat in Civil War. Why? Why did he fall?
Civil War could have happened without him.
Yes. No, the whole point of Civil War.
No, the Sokovia Accords were the whole point of Civil War.
All right, before you guys go down this freaking rabbit hole again, that took 45 minutes in the last episode. We're done with that. I'm putting the kibosh on it now, because literally 45 minutes of the last episode was this exact argument.
Here's a weird question. When the Avengers first have a fight over something, is it the Sokovia Accords, or is it the last fight in the movie between Cap and Iron
Man? Hold on, Matt.
No, I got to retort. Jeff,
you don't have to.
Jeff,
you
every
really
time
don't.
You get in a, no, hold on. Every time you get in a fight with Amanda, does it normally ever evolve into another conversation other than the first topic that you guys are fighting about?
I have never been in a fight with Amanda. Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry, man. I know no one can say that.
Perfect
never...
husband award to Jeff.
No, perfect wife award is what.
So
that
are we
is.
Saying me and you have fought more like a married couple than you?
Yes,
Amanda?
Yeah, I can say that, because holy crap. Anyways, so we can all agree that the Sokovia Accords was the initial conflict. And then Zemo coming in was
evolved.
It was an escalation.
An escalation. Not an evolution. It
however,
was an escalation. Because
however,
the fight was
Zemo's,
already there. The fight was
Zemo's
already there.
Zemo's effect on the Avengers was so minuscule, because it was only directly affecting Tony, Cap, and Bucky. It didn't affect anybody else until the end.
No,
but
it affected Black Panther.
No, hold on.
He killed his father.
Not only that, but you have the same.
He wasn't an Avenger yet. Doesn't matter.
You have the same conflict in.
He actually never was, really.
Hold on. We go back to the Avengers 1.
Did he have a room at the Avengers compound in upstate New York, which is barely upstate New York, but Westchester County?
I mean, Ant-Man didn't either.
Shut it, Jeff. Look, Avengers 1.
Ant-Man didn't either.
Avengers
1. That's true. He wasn't really an Avenger. Oh, but he was in the compound and probably slept for at least a night in the last movie.
Exactly.
Jeff, did anyone on this podcast watch Avengers 1? There was a conflict between Tony and Cap right there at the Avengers 1. They fought about who is better to lead or to
fight. Did Civil War start in the first Avengers?
Yes.
No. The Civil War did. No. David, you
it
haven't
did.
Read the comics.
Okay.
You don't.
We're not
right.
talking
no.
comics.
Well, first
we're
Civil
talking
War
movies.
All right, hold on. I'm going to fix this right now. Just everybody shut up and don't say anything.
Jeff, take this. Take this whole entire argument and bring it to Amanda, and then you'll have your first fight because she's smarter than you are, and she'll back me up. She'll back me up.
All right, David,
Both of you, shut up. She does not like that part of the Civil War movie at all because she doesn't think Baron Zemo was that compelling of a character.
Sounds like she doesn't care about you enough to argue with you.
Let me fix this.
About such an important topic as in whether or not the first Avengers started Civil War. The first Avengers started it. That was the first glimpse of Civil War.
Hold on.
Dude, just because two people fight about who's in charge, it doesn't mean they're going to fight war about it.
But that's
Matt's in charge of this podcast, and I'm going to let him tell me to shut up. You're
in
the one
who's
keeps
in charge. Matt's in charge, and me and you are bickering about who's in charge.
I'm going to head out.
Best Mad Hatter cast.
Can I say what I got to say now?
Say it, man.
All right. So Cap and Tony's conflict started before they even met because his father loved Captain America more than he loved Tony. So Civil War technically started before the Avengers movie. It was an escalation through the 22 movies all throughout up until Endgame where they finally agreed on something. Because in Endgame,
and he does reference that. He references it in Civil War.
He references in Civil War.
Tony does.
And in Endgame, he takes off his nanotech heart thing that doesn't really matter anymore because he fixed himself. And gives it to Cap and says, "You got this. Take care of it." He throws in the towel because he's defeated. He lost, and Cap wasn't there like his father said that he was gonna be there. The whole arc of Tony Stark and Cap was Civil War. They just called that Civil War to bring it more together to really push into Infinity War and Endgame. It's different than the comics because it doesn't fit the narrative of the MCU. So both of you can shut up. Baron Zemo was the catalyst that really pushed those two apart. It started with the Sokovia Accords and then the fact that Baron Zemo, his main objective was to get rid of superhumans. To get rid of the Winter Soldier program and to break up the Avengers because they destroyed Sokovia. That all what Zemo was. And now we got a whole deeper arc of Zemo where he shoots Nagel in the place because he recreated the Super Soldier Serum. Zemo's entire arc is all about snubbing superhumans before they get out of control. And at that point, before the Sokovia Accords were signed and finalized, they were out of control. That's it.
I think Matt's saying we're both right, David.
I think Matt's saying that this is episode whatever we're on, Civil War 2.
We're on Dave Civil War 3 right now.
Jeff. Dave versus Jeff on Civil War 2.
I'm not naming the episode this again, by the way.
You can't. Don't say it again.
I'm just going to name it Matt is right and David and Jeff are wrong always.
Yes, that works perfect. I'm down with that.
So here's a theory about what could spawn like the next war among heroes.
It's the Skrulls.
I'm fucking done with the Skrulls. I'm sorry.
It's because they weren't. We got to let it breathe because they threw a wrench into the Skrull thing where they skipped over the fact that there's good and bad Skrulls.
And now we're going to get bad Skrulls. And it's like, okay, Kai, if you're going to make a weird change, stick with your change.
Yeah. And I think we'll get there. This is the one thing the MCU does, and I've said this before in the podcast. They give us a little inkling of something we think is going to happen, like with the Mandarin and Trevor in Iron Man 3.
No, the Mephisto was just a bunch of fanboys, man. Come on.
That was never part of the plan. The Mandarin
was a major part of the comics that they left out.
The comics you didn't read.
Boom, I don't roasted. Have to read them.
I've only recently gone through all the arcs, so I haven't even read all of them.
I read most of them when I was younger, but anyways.
Do you have a ton of time to read through all the arcs because Star Trek is so
not
bland?
Anymore?
Is that what happened?
Not anymore.
So.
I did.
This is one thing the MCU does is they drop little breadcrumbs for us to think about, and then they deliver.
I am Iron Man.
They deliver on it.
Yep. So they got rid of the whole secret identity thing, and they stuck with that one.
They stuck with it, except for Spider-Man, where he was the so the only parallel between, or the opposites between Peter Parker and Tom Holland is that Peter Parker could keep a freaking secret, but that's a whole nother thing. They gave us the Mandarin, but throughout all the movies, they've referenced the Ten Rings beyond this Trevor character who was playing a fake Mandarin, because the Mandarin is a secretive character. And the fact that we got Madripoor and the fact that the Mandarin is still out there and in play, that we're going to get in Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, they've done a great job of continuing stuff they've put out in Phase 1 and Phase 2 and Phase 3. That's going to carry over past Endgame.
Now, they've already cast the Mandarin, right?
Yes.
It would have been amazing if they could somehow have made Trevor Slattery actually being the Mandarin.
It would have been cool if they could do that, but you know what? I'm happy.
It's impossible.
Now, looking back, hindsight's 2020, I'm happy that they did what they did. I was pissed.
It would have only have worked if they had kept him alive at the end and had a couple more Iron Man standalones.
Yeah. Because
that's the only way it would have worked.
It would have, yeah, I agree. But the fact that you guys are arguing over the smallest details of Civil War is...
Smallest details? Between Zemo and the Sokovia Accords, what else is there?
But they're not, because Civil War was just like the hill. It was going up the hill, and then after that, everything fell apart when Tony found out that Bucky killed his parents and Steve knew. That's
Civil
more
War
important.
Is the climax. Civil War is the climax.
Yeah, they're at the peak of the hill, and then it just goes downhill after that.
Yeah, the peak, and then it goes down.
But the main problem, the thing that put the nail in the coffin, was that Cap knew that Bucky killed his parents in 1991 and never said anything.
No.
That's not it.
He said specifically that I didn't know it was... him. He knew it was a Hydra agent, Winter Soldier, didn't know it was Bucky himself.
He knew.
No. That's not,
he said so.
That's not it.
He said so in the movie.
Headcanon. Headcanon. He knew. And
I don't give a damn about headcanon. I'm talking about the movie. They said, I didn't know it was him. That's exactly what Captain America says to him. And do not mess with semantics with me. I have an eidetic memory, and that is exactly what he said. Look,
anyways,
it up.
He knew.
I would drop this microphone, but it's expensive.
He knew that his parents were killed by somebody.
He knew his parents were killed by a Winter Soldier,
yes.
Even. Not necessarily that it was him.
Either way, Hydra agent. That's the point that really solidified Civil War. So it was leading up to that. Yes, it was the Sokovia.
You're wrong because your assertion is wrong because you were wrong about him.
I'm wrong about that one detail, but he knew all along, and he never told Tony. Tony's biggest crutch is the love of his father. That's the biggest thing, because I watched Iron Man 2 when he gets the videos from the Stark Expo of 74. And he's watching, and then they do the outtakes, and then he says, "Hey, Tony, this is something that you can figure out." And he gives him all those things. So there's little things, and then we got an Endgame, which was interesting because it was Tony, Cap, and his dad all in the same location. I'm just saying, like, Zemo and the Sokovia Accords were plot pieces to push that story further.
The story behind that is the fact that Tony feels like his dad loved Cap more than he did himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the whole been
point.
There.
Like, I'm,
he said,
I'm
God, I hated you.
Basically, what
War.
I'm saying is that Civil War was going to happen either way because there was so much tension between Cap and Tony the entire time.
If you're Zemo going, how do I destroy the Avengers? You pick the two leaders, the ones who are fighting over. Who's leading him? Because they constantly did that. Who did Fury go to first? Obviously, Cap was in the ice. So he went to Tony. Tony leads. And that was the point we had Avengers on the plane. On the whole
base.
Actually,
no. Tony doesn't lead. Tony says himself, oh, no, he's in charge.
Yeah. Well,
it's at the
I'm not talking about like leading the Avengers itself, but personalities that lead, like alpha males. I know I don't want to go with that, but yes.
Well, they're both alpha males.
They are, and so they're constantly bickering. Even the in whole, Avengers One,
the whole team when they except first for meet. Banner is alpha males.
Dude, when they first meet is when they Loki
and Hawkeye.
When Thor knocks Loki out of the plane and they go down, and Thor is trying to arrest Loki. In Avengers 1, and then Iron Man shows up and says, he's mine. And Thor's like, well, no.
I was saying that Hawkeye is also not an alpha male, that's all.
No, he's not.
No.
So I have a theory that I think the three of us would agree on. I need to workshop it for a second. Bear with me. So I think I found the biggest flaw with the way Zemo's idea for like killing the Avengers, getting the Avengers to not be the Avengers anymore. It's nothing to do with the Russo brothers or with Baron Zemo as a character. It's because in Avengers 2, the Avengers extinction was Ultron's plan.
Yeah.
So it came off like, whoa, we've already heard this before. Who cares? It's Joss Whedon's fault.
It's 100% Joss
always.
Whedon's fault.
Jesus, always.
It's always
anyways,
Joss's fault.
All right,
done.
We're done with this argument. It's all Joss right. Whedon's fault. Let's get back to the episode. So we get to...
I'm so glad that we brought it back. That's wonderful.
So we go to Madripoor, and we finally get to see this. And now there's some interesting things before we get to the bronze monkey or brass monkey, depending on who you talk to. I have to say I was wrong. In the brass monkey or bronze monkey, I thought those were Skrull skulls, but they're actually primate skulls. So I was wrong. I could say I was wrong, unlike two other people on my podcast.
I don't remember you saying that.
Oh, I definitely said it. I might have said it in text. Mm. I don't know.
Oh, that could be.
Either way, I was like, oh, my God, the Skrull skulls.
So much for my eidetic memory.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just proved that wrong.
Well, I usually watch these movies 40 times.
Exactly. So we get a little glimpse of the Princess Bar, which was Wolverine's main hangout when he was in Madripoor under the Patch alias, which... I was like, okay, we got a hint. They did that on purpose. Yeah. I don't think they're going to bring Wolverine in anytime soon, but it was a nice nod to us who read the comics, unlike David.
There is an arc where Captain America and Wolverine are traveling together at some point.
In Madripoor.
Together, solo, right?
Yes. There's an arc.
And Evans has been reported to be taking two more roles.
Yes. So, Madripoor, them introducing Madripoor in this show is not a one-off thing. We were there for one episode, but this is a big area for the Marvel universe.
Hey, Matt, we didn't get to see a lot of Nomad.
No.
What if we see Nomad courting Wolverine?
There's a chance.
Because Wolverine is older by nature.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not going to be as affected by the snap radiation making universes or making universes what?
No.
Making mutants.
Well, because we know that Weapon Plus is already a thing, because in Hulk it says on the thing that he injected the cryo thing, it says Weapon
Jesus
Plus
Christ.
On it.
We're going back to the Incredible
we
Hulk.
Have to. I hate the movie.
Wow.
I hate the movie.
I need to watch this movie again.
I don't like it. Not my favorite.
It's as bad as Thor 2.
It's as bad as Thor 2. But there's a lot of...
Maybe
no,
worse.
No, Thor 2 is still worse.
Thor 2 doesn't really connect to much with the exception of the Infinity Stones.
Well, because the only redemptive part of Hulk is we see Abomination being made. We see the Weapons Plus being shown. We see Thaddeus trying to recreate the serum. And we get the end credit scene with Iron Man and I believe Ross. Am I right?
It's Thaddeus, yeah.
Yeah, so we get that's the only reason why that's so better than Thor 2. But anyways, we know Weapons Plus is a thing. So we know that Weapon X is Weapon 10. So it's the 10 iteration of that program. By this point, there's got to be experiments on these people, because we're supposed to get Omega Red at some point in this thing unless they cut it out. And Omega Red is a big-time Marvel mutant villain, so we know that he's coming. We also got Selby in the Madripoor scene, who in the comics, there's been different iterations of Selby.
Well, we had Selby.
Different iterations of her character, male, female, whatever, but they've been a mutant property. They had Selby in the comics. The most recent one, I believe, was a black guy who could kind of plug into computers and manipulate and get information.
I have a question about, so Selby's killer, Agent 13, Carter.
That was my question. So I only watched the episode. No, I watched it twice. Are we 100% sure that Sharon killed her?
I believe so, because she was the one that showed up keeping them alive.
Yes.
So it's definitely an assumption, but it's a very
We're gonna have a long discussion about her, because I have some thoughts on her character.
I think she still works for the CIA. I don't think she actually needs a pardon.
I think she works for the power broker.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. Or because everybody's saying that she is the power broker, which makes sense.
It's a possibility because
in the comics, the power broker was multiple people over time. It was just the name that got passed.
Oh god! And she's got connections to the Super Soldier Serum.
So
with Cap and with Peggy,
because we have to be under the assumption based on how she was talking that she wasn't blipped.
That gives her
7 years to build this life in Madripoor.
I like that she's like a cat burglar. I like that aspect.
So
she's like the Catwoman of the MCU.
Personally, I think she's working for the power broker based on the end of the or towards the end of the episode when she's like, "We have two big problems. I'll explain in the car. Yeah. Let's go." So
it could be that she's working for the power broker, or that she's like, "Hey, look, I'm here under deep cover with the CIA, and these two are making a big problem."
I think the CIA thing's long done, because she.
Have you ever worked undercover, Matt?
I am not at liberty to say.
Jeff, are you serious?
A little bit.
No, he's not. Anyways.
Oh yes.
Anyways, I think there because it would
be.
Is this
redacted? Are we redacting this part of the episode?
I don't have to tell you what it was.
Anyways, let's talk about Sharon Carter. Her arc is more interesting to me than anybody else's right now.
I like her arches too. They're pretty good.
Arches?
What is she, McDonald's?
She's a 7 out of 10.
Anyways,
back at the number 7. McDonald's. Oh man.
Anyways, so I don't know if she killed Selby. I think she, because if you watch the, like when they first get to the bar, you see somebody put their hood up, and that's obviously her.
That's her, yeah.
That's 100% her.
That's her. Well, she's totally following them and trying to keep an eye on what they were doing.
I don't know if she was following them. I think it was coincidence they walked into the bar that she was in. And
no. She's been following them.
Garbage. She's following them.
Because her reaction was like, oh crap, they're here.
She knew that they were going there.
All right, maybe she did.
Where else would they be going?
Maybe she did. I don't know.
If she is the power broker, then she would have known.
This is what I'm saying. I don't think she's the power broker. I think she's clearly working for the power broker.
Well, if she's not CIA, if she's not, what's wrong with that? Yeah. If she's not CIA, then she's a free agent probably working for anyone who's paying her.
Yeah. But based on
the
anonymity of the power broker... And that conversation of her getting in the car at the end of that, before they all leave, she was that makes me think she's working for the power broker.
And they didn't show who killed Selby, probably purposefully.
Yes.
And if they don't ever answer who killed her, then they can bring in another character later.
Exactly.
Could be
Deadshot.
Yeah, it could be Deadshot.
Deadshot's a DC character, isn't he? That was
Cyborg.
No, right? Deadshot was Will Smith in the Suicide Squad. You guys are way off.
Wait, who is
not Deadshot? What's his name?
What's his marksman?
He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's in Daredevil with
Bullseye.
Affleck. Bullseye. That's it.
Bullseye. Yeah.
God, you guys are dumb.
It's late.
Anyways. Late, did you guys notice that the character's name that died with the Flag Smashers, the old lady, was Mundani? And it made me instantly think of the Punisher.
No.
Whoa, wait a minute. No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was some, I can't remember her exact name, but it sounded exactly like the Punisher's friend from the series.
Mm. Do you think, this is a little bit of a sidebar, do you think we're going to see the same actors playing most of the same characters from the Defenders in the MCU?
Everybody
proper?
But Iron Fist. Nickelback. Yeah. Yes.
I think
Luke Cage is going to be the same actor. I think Jessica Jones is going to be the same actor. And I think the Punisher is going to be the same actor.
You know how...
Are we going to...
Do you know how
are
they
we going
solve
to
solve the Iron Fist problem, right?
They're going to solve it in... They're going to solve it in Shang-Chi.
They could...
Sure. Yeah.
Honestly, they could have the actor who played Iron Fist in Netflix have to defeat the next Iron Fist. Like, they could have them fight... And the next Iron Fist.
Well, are we talking about having the Defenders arc being canon, or are we just talking about using the same actors?
I think we're
going to use the same actor because you had Coulson in the MCU and you had Coulson in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not canon.
But you also had the Netflix, like them mentioning, like,
and they showed
the incident.
And they showed the tower in one of the episodes, I think.
Yeah. So you could have Iron Fist, like, rejoin. But be replaced.
I don't want Iron Fist. I watched two episodes of his show and I thought it was the biggest pile of garbage I've ever seen.
Season one was okay. Season two was horrible.
I didn't watch
season
any
two
of
was
it.
Was rough, man. It was rough. It was rough.
The best to was, me, the best show was Daredevil, season one of Jessica Jones, and Punisher. That was it.
Season one. I think season one of Jessica Jones wins it for me. Ooh. But Daredevil was good too. Yeah.
The Daredevil. Season two was amazing.
I still think Punisher was the best.
No,
but
season three.
I think
season three.
It's only because.
Or season two. I'm sorry.
I really love Frank Castle. Like, I love his
so
character.
So I haven't seen all of two yet. I think I'm three episodes from the end of two.
It's so good.
For the Punisher. I liked the Punisher. I liked season two so far. My issue with season one in particular was in every scene.
Yeah.
I didn't clip. Good. Like, I didn't like his vocalizations because it was just constant grunting.
Well, that's...
If I want to watch that, I'll watch Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z. I love Dragon Ball Z.
Me too. That's why I would watch it if I wanted that. But I liked the plot. It just... They could have done it in, like, six episodes. It didn't need to drag it.
So, can we talk about... All right, so we have to talk about the shipping container scene where Sharon beats the ever-living crap out of everybody.
Kicks ass. Maybe she's super-powered.
I don't think she is. But...
Okay. Maybe she's a Skrull.
Maybe. You never know. You never know who's going to be a
Skrull.
She
could be
a Skrull.
If we start barking up that tree with every weird thing we see with a character,
maybe
we're going to get disappointed.
So,
I've had enough
beers. We'll go with that.
So, the Nagi, is it Nagi or Nagi? The scientist's name. What was his name?
Nagel.
Science man.
Nagel.
So, he said that there was no super serum in that lab. I think he's full of crap, and I think one of them... Don't know who, but somebody took a vial of the serum. Probably Zemo, but I doubt it. I think Bucky took a serum sample.
Well, Bucky has his powers because of a serum, correct?
Correct.
Now, there was a rumor around Endgame that Cap's serum was wearing off. Hmm. It's still effective, but not as effective.
Yeah, but I think that would be... That I think if that was going to be happening, they wouldn't have introduced Isaiah and shown him with powers.
Well,
good point. Yep.
Yeah, but Cap's serum went in 10 years before that.
Yeah.
Just because he went into cryo, it doesn't mean.
I don't see that. No.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I mean, it's a good rumor, but I don't know.
Well, if Bucky took the serum. Why would Bucky take it if not to give it to himself to bring his powers back to peak?
I'm going to go and defeat this real quick. So Cap, Cap, 5 years ahead of the snap, fights Cap in 2001 back-to-back. Remember that whole scene?
Yeah, he wins because he tricks him.
He still won.
He can only do that if he had the same power. Like, there's no... They fought
each other. They were evenly matched.
They were pretty evenly matched, except that Cap 2012 had him in a lock.
Because he
says Bucky is alive.
Not
Bucky is alive. He let go, and then Cap sucker punched him.
It's because
present Cap is a smarter fighter and a smarter person and an older, more wise, he's like 100 and whatever, person than 2012 Cap. Because he was like, Bucky is alive.
It comes down to their personalities.
Shows up in the elevator, and instead of fighting his way out of the elevator in Avengers Tower, he tricks them and says, Hail Hydra, walks out, because he knows he's starting to lose his edge. He can feel it starting to go down, and that's why Bucky has to have the serum for himself.
I think Bucky...
America's ass looked just as good in the 2012 than it did in 2011, or 21, whatever that was.
It suited nothing for it, but it was fine.
This is what I think. I think he took it to tempt Walker in the taking it. Because throughout the past three episodes, Bucky's big thing is to get the shield off of that idiot. So if he can tempt him to make him look terrible, the shield's going to go away.
No, that doesn't make sense. Bucky's too smart to do that because he knows it's going to lead to disaster. Remember, Bucky is a super spy responsible for toppling governments.
I get it. So what would you do? You would make the one person who looks infallible based on the GRC's or newest thing, and they're going to make him go unhinged. The only way to make him go unhinged is to give him the serum.
Risk is too high because he's already dangerous.
I totally agree.
He's already dangerous. He's dangerous in circles.
Can we solve this? We have four, two more episodes? Three?
We're two hours into this thing already? Three. Holy crap.
No, we're an hour 16 into it. He's wrong.
Oh, okay.
It feels like 2 hours.
Woo!
David, you started recording like when we turned the phones on.
Yeah,
so.
that was four hours ago. Oh my God.
So, all right, we need to get through the rest of this episode.
I'm going to plant my foot here, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Bucky didn't steal
it wrong.
Trick Walker, okay? I don't think so.
I think it would be an interesting arc if he did. I don't know if I'm right, because I don't know, like, why would Zemo take the serum?
We have to keep it away from other people.
To keep it, yeah, but the lab was destroyed, so he didn't need to take the serum.
Wouldn't be Zemo.
No. Sam.
Whoa. Maybe Sam feels terrible for getting rid of the shield because he doesn't think he can handle it, and he's going to want to maybe take it. Maybe Walker gets it by stealing it from Sam.
That was exactly what I was going to say. So I have to look at
it
both
ways. I don't think
ways.
Bucky took it to tempt Walker, but I also don't think that – I don't necessarily think that Bucky needs to re-up his superpowers.
No.
Because he's a good fighter, and he's got a metal arm anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And – based on the scene in The Bronze Monkey where he kicks the ever-living crap out of everybody, I don't think his powers are going away.
No, he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. So what was after? So we get that whole scene. We get the amazing reveal of Zemo with the mask on, which I thought was fantastic. Loved it.
I don't understand what the purpose of the mask is.
It's a family thing. So in the comics, it was passed down by generations, and that's how Zemo became... The Baron Zemo was Zemo. It was a family name. So his father was, I can't remember his first name, but it was Baron something Zemo. And then his son was Baron Helmet Zemo. And it's like a family thing that gets passed on.
So are they like a family of super spies?
Yes, to an extent.
So it's pretty much Black Panther, but they're Sokovian.
Yes, and villains.
Okay.
That's like an oversimplification of it, but yes. But the original in the comics, the original Zemo was intertwined with another character that severely disfigured him, like a la Deadpool kind of disfigurement, and he had to wear that mask.
Yeah. And maybe we'll see that at the end of this show.
We might if it's the same Zemo, because do we ever get his first name?
Maybe.
I think in Civil War we got Helmet Zemo. So if it is, that's his son. So,
ooh, I have a non-Zemo related question. Oh shit, I did. I lost it. Never mind.
Okay. So we get that scene of him putting it on and being smarter than everybody else and blowing up that pipeline, which caused enough diversion to get everybody safe. I think it's interesting how he's sticking around Sam and Bucky. because he doesn't really need to, or probably wants to, but he's doing it for some reason other than just...
He wants to... Well, he's a spy. He wants to compromise them.
He wants to compromise them, but he's not a spy anymore. That's the thing.
No, but when you are a spy, you're a spy.
Yeah. We got the scene. So now we need to talk about the Flag Smashers. There's a lot of stuff in this episode. This was a very...
It's packed.
It was a packed episode. So we get the...
Notice I only had one complaint about this
episode.
I know,
I was surprised.
And it was actually legitimate.
It was a legitimate complaint. So we get the scene where Carly's stealing the supplies with the rest of the Flag Smashers. They did try to humanize her, which was good, but they flipped the script just as quick because she blows up that GRC camp and there was people hogtied or prisoners in there, basically, of like the guards and everything. And she was like, this is the only thing that they react to. And she already got the information that Nagel was killed. And she was like, yeah, the power broker is going to come running to us. And this is where they say, like, so throughout the past couple episodes, they've always referred to the power broker as him, except for Carly. So she knows who the power broker is. So this is why.
Who do you think the power broker is?
I hope it's a new character. I hope they don't go the easy route and make Sharon the power broker. I think that would be just...
Yeah, that seems like it's a really easy and manufactured sort of conflict.
It's very easy, and it's to your gripes with writing, I think it's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's a complete...
Sometimes easy is right, but I don't think in
this case it's not. I don't think it's Thaddeus Ross. People have been saying
that. No, but Thaddeus Ross might want to use the power broker later.
Yes. I hope it's a new character, or we don't ever find out who he is in this arc.
Could wait until maybe the mutants. That'd
yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So we know the power broker's out there, the power broker's watching, but we don't know who he is. And I'm okay with that. And then we get the scene after that, so she blows up the thing, and then we get the scene of them going in Latvia because they get like word that she's in the Baltic Sea, so they go to Latvia. Zemo's like, I have a place. They're walking into the building and Bucky gets like a twinge. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go take a walk. And what do we get? We get the Kimoyo beads. Kimoyo beads. And as soon as I saw it, I was
it's
like,
Japanese Mardi Gras. Woo!
And I saw it and I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. I never would have expected them to do it. But then you look back in the episode and
they warned about it.
They foreshadowed like a mother. That
oh yeah, big time.
That Wakanda is not going to be happy that we broke out Zemo.
And you think Wakanda isn't watching a place like Magikarp?
Yeah, exactly. Gyarados, dude. So we get the beads.
I haven't said Magipore yet. I had to.
I know.
Magikarp.
I know you. I was waiting for it. So we get the reveal of Ayo. It's Ayo.
I never remember.
So we get the she was first introduced in Civil War, and that we get that great scene of her and Natasha standing there, and Chadwick Boseman goes, "Was entertaining this would be,
as this would be." Yeah.
we get that, and then
I may have something to qualify a theory. So. My gripe with the episode is that they didn't try hard enough to get him out by legitimate means,
yeah.
Right? What if she's just like, Bucky, after all we've done for you, you could have just come to us. We know who the power broker is. You think we don't?
It's a possibility. I think I'm excited for the next episode because I hope it picks up right where this one leaves off. And we get some kind of exposition of what the heck's going on with Wakanda. I don't think they're going to touch on Chadwick Boseman yet because this was filmed before he died, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to...
I don't know either.
I watched Infinity War the other day while I was editing some photos, and I was just like, he shows up, and I'm like, oh, man. Hey, buddy. And then when he shows up in Endgame and he just nods to Cap, I'm like, God damn it. I can't watch it.
Yep.
You
know?
Yep.
Pour one out for some homies. Wait, pour some out for one's homies.
So there's a theory going around that after this these episodes that Bucky retires and goes back to Wakanda.
I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, he was happy there until the fight was on its way, and then he had to put the arm on.
Exactly.
I'll tell you all about the dream I had where I was getting a full body tattoo that looked like his arm.
Yes, you did tell us that.
I kind of wish I had the money for that.
Yeah. So that's how the episode ends. So now we need to talk about where it's going to go for the last half of the season, because it looks like by the initial trailers, we've seen everything. Except for Sam throwing the shield around Louisiana, which could be a flashback.
Him giving up.
I think that's not him giving up, but him like throwing the shield around and Bucky catching it. I think that might be a flashback.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like him giving up on the idea of being Cap. Because when he's throwing it, it gets stuck in the tree. It doesn't bounce.
Yep.
He's not good at tossing it.
No.
So
we need to talk about where we're going in the rest of the season, because we have a lot of loose ends right now.
I think we're definitely going to see at least a nod to a possible Thunderbolts arc.
Yep.
That's what I would like to see that. I would love to see that be the Suicide Squad of the MCU and watch it done well.
I think that would happen. Did we talk about the Suicide Squad trailer?
The new one? No, I don't watch DC movies. You know that.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. They did bring Starro in this, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, there are so many potential moves they can make in this show. I don't know what I'm actually going to expect.
Do you think that they're going to stick the landing of the show?
Yes.
Because there's some interesting things that...
I agree.
So... Yeah. We have to talk about the inevitable COVID bullcrap that we're dealing with. It looks like, based on cuts and editing from the past couple episodes, that there was a pandemic-style situation that was going to be in the show that they cut out.
Yeah, there was one particular shot, and I can't remember what it was, but I know what you're
talking
about.
It's the way that there was a shot with Nagel, there was a shot with Sharon in the when they're getting changed before the party, and then there was another shot where the cut happened and and the audio changed with the editing where it sounded like a voiceover.
Yeah.
So they obviously they course corrected with the pandemic stuff, which is fine because I really don't want to watch a show with what we're living through.
No, someone already tried to make one, and I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, already.
I'm already in this, man.
Exactly. So I'm really curious how they're going to go about this show. And where John Walker's going to end up, how Bucky's going to handle all this stuff with the Wakandans, and if Sam is actually going to end up with the Shield, or is it going to be the Shield's not going to be ended up with anybody?
What if we get Old Man Steve at the end?
I'm hoping for...
Nah, too easy.
I'm hoping for a cameo at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Nah, probably not. Interestingly, I just thought of it. Maybe, like, Walker goes bananas. Bucky and Sam can stop him, but barely. Bucky retires. Sam continues his work as the Falcon, because he's pretty young. He can keep doing the Avenger thing for a while. And he goes to the raft. Zemo goes to the raft. A bunch of people go to the raft.
And that's how we get Thaddeus.
And then we see Thaddeus Ross on the raft talking to them. And maybe we get maybe we can get a mutant criminal that's already known. And that might be the first look at a mutant next to Wanda, obviously, in the MCU. Who's the first mutant we're going to see in the MCU next to Wanda?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
Because, like, I mean, to keep the fans happy, Wolverine is the right way to go.
Or Cyclops.
No, Cyclops is stupid.
Gambit, it would be my next bet. Because we didn't really get enough of him.
No, Professor X. Professor X.
Yeah. That's the easy way.
Professor X, his existence has to show up. He can't already exist in the universe unless he's been hiding himself this whole time.
Well, so the Mutants movie that's been... It's in development. We know that. There's this theory going around, or like reported leak, that it's going to be set through different timelines in the movie, and it's going to be Xavier's lead up to present day.
Like him making the school.
Yes. And him.
I think our first episode, I said that that's how it should be
done.
That's
how it should be done. So that's like kind of, yeah. And it's going to be like the first class in the comics, not in the movie. So it's going to be Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey. Mystique. No, not Mystique. There's another.
Well, she's part of the Brotherhood in the beginning.
Yeah, she's part of the Brotherhood. So there's, it's going to be a very small sect of mutants that are not.
It's going to be the cartoon cast, pretty much.
No, because
Rogue and Wolverine.
Because Wolverine and Rogue aren't going to be in it. Gambit's not going to be in it. Storm might be in it because of the Wakandan tie. But now that Chadwick's gone, I think they might have switched courses because Black Panther was the love interest of Storm in the comics.
If they keep Michael B. Jordan alive and give him a story arc, make a Killmonger into Black Panther. He did still have the power of the heart-shaped herb when he died.
Yep.
He might have survived. Who knows?
Who knows?
We didn't see him getting buried.
So this is the other theory that I heard the other day that was interesting, is that the serum came. So everything, vibranium is tied to pretty much everything, correct? In the MCU. So they're saying that the serum was derived from the heart-shaped herb. That it's,
it would make sense.
That's part of it. I thought that was interesting.
Because Black Panther's powers and Captain America's powers are the same. They're just really good athletes.
Yeah, basically. And Erskine from the original Captain America was the one that first perfected the serum. And it makes sense that Stark made the shield out of vibranium. So obviously there's another part of that. And we know that T'Chaka was in, he was closed off, but he had certain outlets of who to talk to.
Well, back then it wouldn't have been T'Chaka. It would have been someone else.
True. Well, no, T'Chaka was like, he was about,
his father would have,
he was about,
his father would have been king. 1939? Come on.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
My grandfather's dead. It wouldn't have been him.
They could pull that off, though. Like,
well, if he's the Black Panther, he could live that long, but look how old he was in the early
90s. They could have a T'Chaka or whatever.
Phanta.
Introduce like the grandfather of T'Chaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us his grandfather, because there's nothing about the Super Soldier Serum that keeps people alive.
They could tie that in with Isaiah Bradley as well.
Nah, he's not from Wakanda.
No, he's not from Wakanda, but they could use that as like, hey, we got this thing from Wakanda.
You want to try this?
You want to try this? Yeah. Like, I mean, I
yo, you want to do some drugs?
You want to do this purple drug that glows?
I kept laughing about COVID vaccine today, calling it the Super Soldier Serum.
So, like,
I walked into Walgreens and I'm like, all right, I'm here for my Super Soldier Serum. Where do I go? I'm ready to look like, you know, buff Jeff and not Jeff that just ate a whole box and a half of mac and cheese, because that's what I did.
I think. I don't know where this is going to go. Like, I can honestly say it. Like, just like WandaVision, I didn't know right where it was going to go. And that's why...
We kind of had an idea, but...
Yeah, like, we have ideas, but we have no... Because we've pretty much seen everything in the trailers in these first three episodes, which I expected.
You know what?
Yeah.
I want to see a good conclusion to the show. We did not get a good conclusion to WandaVision. We got a good lead-in, but no good conclusions. The finale didn't feel final to me.
Yeah.
But that's because it wasn't supposed to. It's supposed to lead into the rest of the universe.
Exactly.
And the
but this is going to lead into other stuff, too. We know that, because obviously the Wakandans are in here.
Who do we have that can die in this series, in this show right now?
Bucky.
Who can die in the finale?
John
Bucky.
Walker.
Well, I mean, John Walker.
Bucky. John can't die.
John can die.
They need John Walker for the next Civil War arc. They need him.
But as we know, the Civil War is not technically the comic Civil War, so they could kill him off. Anybody's fair game.
Yeah. He would. I mean, I wouldn't miss him.
No.
But I think having him as an anti-hero later to work off of Sam would be good. So he and Sam should survive. I think Sharon, if we find out she's actually evil, can die. But I'd rather watch her turn into a villain who kills Captain America, whoever Captain America is, at the end of Civil War II, a la the original Civil War arc, where she shoots him in the back of the head.
Yes.
but she does it under her own volition and not because she has her mind taken control of.
Yeah.
That's the original arc, right?
I believe so.
I watched... Okay, yeah. I learned all this real fast, so I'm hoping I have it all right.
I think you're right.
But I haven't read Bucky, it in a while. After he makes amends with everybody, can die, and his arc can be completed.
Yeah.
And if Bucky dies, we get a little bit of a sense of finality that we didn't get in WandaVision, because we already saw Vision die, and the kids weren't real.
A bunch of times. We've seen Vision die more than anybody. Holy crap.
I've seen him die 3 times now.
All
right.
Interesting. I think we've kind of exhausted today.
Yes.
David looks like he's about to sleep.
Dude, I'm so excited. All
right, you guys go. I'm going to keep talking.
No, I can keep going because I...
What time is it?
It's like almost 11.
Oh, yeah. I'm good for 2 more hours.
Yeah.
Jeff, can you tell me about Picard?
The show?
Yeah, the show.
Or the character?
Both. Just going in-depth on Star Trek and Picard.
I started recording
a podcast where I talk about Star Trek. The beginning of it says, "Hey guys, it's Jeff from the Mad Hatter Cast, and I'm going to talk about Star Trek today because Matt told me to review something I know really well, and David is going to be pissed."
Pissed? Yeah. That's true. Oh, by the way, just secret, I have something I'm going to review. I'm going to record it, and I'm going to give it to you guys. So
nice. Cool. I will too. It won't be Star Trek.
Sorry. I'm coughing. I'm going to review COVID as I cough.
Solid 1 out of 10. Would not do again.
Would not do again.
Probably not. No. Maybe two out of five.
First solo review is not going to be Star Trek because I need like 15 episodes to give the good stuff justice.
I
need 40 episodes to give the bad stuff justice.
Just a heads up. If any argument needs more than 15 minutes to explain, means it's not real.
Dude, there's like 700 episodes of that show.
There's
700 too many.
It would need 700 episodes for me to
551 too many.
To make it sound good. You should need one episode to review a golden episode. Or a golden show, be like, hey, here's 15 minutes of watch.
So let me throw this out here. So obviously,
if you need 15 hours to review something, it means
I got a legitimate question. I got a legitimate question. So Star Trek started in the 60s?
Yeah.
So Marvel started, the MCU started in 2008.
39.
Yeah.
So in, what is it? 12 years, 13 years, we've gotten more content and better explained content than 50 years, 60 years of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think, now listen, do you think it's because Star Trek sucks, or do you think it's because I'm trying to think how I can word this correctly. Not that.
Can I guess?
Yeah, guess.
I think the MCU is more digestible.
Is it more apt for people to be like, okay, cool, these are superheroes, other than, hey, this is a unified federation of space people going to these Monster of the Week things, and there's Borgs, and there's all this other stuff.
Yeah. So it's a pretty complex question, but. Marvel Comics started in 39, is that right?
Around there, yeah.
Okay. So we have a lot of source material to draw from.
A lot.
So that's very helpful for making it a...
Are you that? You said we have a lot of source material to draw from.
Yeah, I love the Marvel Universe, you know that.
Finish your thought, then I got another one. I got to
follow up. So we have in the Marvel Universe, we have so many things to draw from for the source material. And we have amazing film production now. You can watch a Marvel movie and still be kind of excited about the visual effects.
Yes.
Even if you're a child watching it, you're like, oh, wow, punchy, punchy, cool, very, very cool. I know I don't love the CGI slugfest as much as some people do, but some people love them. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fine. Now, look at what Star Trek did over the course of, like, 40 years. It went from I Love Lucy, like space opera kind of thing, which is kind of okay.
Putting furry things on little puppies and calling them tribbles.
Dude, the blanket monsters are hilarious.
Yeah,
the... You'll never see me talk good stuff about like the original series. There's like three good episodes. Then the motion picture, which wasted a ton of money giving itself a hand job when they showed the Enterprise refit.
Yep.
It's like 20 minutes of just showing what the model looks like. Then they hired someone from outside of their universe, and they made The Wrath of Khan, an amazing movie.
It's one of
the
best.
Second best Star Trek movie that's out there.
It's one of
First
the best.
First Contact is still the best. They made a good movie. They made an okay movie.
Or, Jeff,
movie.
Did I ever tell you that me and Sharon, for her birthday one year, because she loves Shatner, went to go watch it at the palace, and then he was there to talk about it after?
Dude, I outsourced an event to Justin Wisner from Cardia to run that William Shatner ended up going to. Can you fucking believe that?
Yeah.
I didn't get to go to it. I'm so pissed. So the thing with Star Trek is that everything is relatively slow paced, like the prequels. It's all very tech, science, high political science, things like that. They started making them into action movies when J.J. Abrams took over, and then the movies were terrible.
Yes. Because Star Trek is not an action movie. It's a thinking movie.
It's a completely different medium than something like the MCU.
And that's why my follow-up question is, it answers itself. That's why Star Wars is way more popular than Star Trek.
It's a matter of accessibility.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will say, when they started getting into the science side of Star Wars, where they're like, midichlorians and other weird ways of explanation.
People hated
I'm like,
it.
I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I want Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want my space opera.
I want laser swords and the Force.
Cool powers.
And
family-driven stories.
Exactly.
Which is also what we get from Star Trek. It's always a family-driven story.
But there's so
and
much
that's
technical
one thing they're
garbage.
Missing in the,
that's
one thing they're missing with the new ones is that there was no real sense of family, belonging,
they
cohesion
tried.
Among the characters.
They tried.
Tried and failed.
Yeah.
So there's... All right. Who's the Fast and Furious guy? Justin Lin, right?
Yes.
He directed Star Trek Beyond.
Yes.
The third Chris Pine movie. It's better than Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Way better. They did a good job of making it feel like a family. And then when the guy who plays Chekhov, Anton Yelchin, died, like I felt like I lost Chekhov.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have felt like that after Into Darkness because it was so disappointing because they tried to turn it into a spy action movie and they messed with the lore.
Yeah.
One thing about Star Trek and Marvel that is very important in both fandoms, we're very picky about lore. Now, there are numerous universes in both shows, so it's... Yeah, numerous universes in both fandoms, so you can get away with some things. But when you start playing with canon in a movie and you don't write it well, it sucks. And that's where Star Trek is failing now and where Marvel is still winning. The real question, though, is what is better, Star Trek or Star Wars? And right now, they are dead even for sucking.
Yeah.
For the new properties at least.
All right, so I gave you 6 minutes to talk about Star Trek. You're good for about a month. That was the whole point of that.
Yeah. I will say that Marvel is so successful because of how accessible it is.
Yeah.
I fell asleep. I literally fell asleep and just
and
now woke
Star
up.
Wars was as successful and loved because of how accessible it is as well, but then the writing started getting lazy.
And then they made The Mandalorian and fixed everything.
They fixed it
so
much.
What you're saying is Star Trek needs Dave Filoni. That was it.
Yeah, John Favreau. Dave Filoni is like a Star Wars guru. We don't need him.
Did you know?
We
all
need
right,
someone
so the last
like
thing
him for Star Trek.
So the hey last guys. Thing. Did you know that Sam Witwer,
oh my God,
who's the voice of Maul, knows more about Star Wars than even Filoni?
He probably.
I'm not surprised.
It's the guy that was in the Force Unleashed games.
Yeah, so what we need for Star Trek to be successful is somebody like Dave Filoni, but in the Star Trek world.
Like
and that's me.
Jeff Pitcher. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You need some, which they have.
No.
They hired him for the Lower Decks. It's the Rick and Morty style cartoon they made last year.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
It is funny.
It's amazing. It's great. It's the best Star Trek of all the new ones, though.
Wasn't that Simon Pegg?
What?
Was that Simon Pegg that was involved with that?
He might have been involved a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was also involved with the new ones, and they're pretty terrible.
Yeah.
The new season for Picard trailer just dropped. I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited because they kind of did okay with it, but it wasn't great in the first season.
Do they bring Q back?
No, but they fucking better.
I think they bring him back in the new trailer.
They have to.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but like not having Q in it and then making the Borg kind of useless was not a great idea.
See, I didn't watch any of it because it was on like CBS All Access or something like that. I'm like, I'm not watching.
My brother got an account. That's the only reason I've seen it.
So anyways.
Actually, our password is some iteration of I'm only doing this for Picard.
Nice.
I'm all right, only let's on wrap. This podcast for Picard. Can we end this? This is awful.
So yeah, Marvel is definitely a better franchise right now than Star Trek, though. You'll never hear me argue that.
Yeah.
That's no way.
All right, so
Star Wars and Star Trek are probably about the same right now.
So we have three episodes down. We have three left. The new one comes out Friday. I think that
the fourth episode is just going to be Bucky watching Star Trek reruns.
That's exactly it. That's it. We figured it out. So this is
coincidentally my favorite episode.
This has been the Mad Hatter Cast. I'm Matt.
I'm Jeff, and Dave is gone.
Dave is gone. Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram.
I'm here. Dave is here.
Dropped his phone. He dropped his phone for the fifth time.
This Five Below holder is awful, dude.
Dude, just awful. I'll give you one of my iPad holders, man. I got plenty of them here.
This is awful. Anyway, yeah, Dave.
Dave
from Five Below is
Dave
here.
Dave from Five Below is here. You can follow us on Instagram at MadHatterCast.
We're signing off, and I'm like, oh my God, my phone's
David,
on the
is your Instagram handle Dave at Five Below?
It needs to be now. That's what it is.
Hey, everyone listening, my Instagram handle is PardonWillArt on Instagram and on Twitter. So you can find that there.
And you can find me at Matt Ant, MATTANT, 19 on Instagram because I don't have a Twitter because Twitter's dumb.
You're dumb.
Nope.
You can find me at JSPitcher_the_author because I'm pretentious as hell on Instagram. You can see me post about my dog.
You put author
and
in your tag?
The food I'm eating. That's about it.
And you could find
you, know what?
You could
you
go
know
on
what?
Anchor.
You can follow my dog at Doodle Trunks.
You need to
find
everybody needs
well.
To follow his dog.
I follow his dog, but I don't follow Jeff because there's no point. There's no point.
I never post anything.
Anchor.fm/MadHatterCast. You can leave us messages. I hope somebody...
Tell us how much you hate Star Trek, and I'll probably argue with you. And then
yeah, you can argue with Jeff so we don't have to argue with him anymore because, God, this has been a long, 3 weeks of
this
podcast?
This is a long podcast.
I've only been on this show for four episodes. You guys,
four episodes, and holy crap. If Jeff didn't know
though,
audio,
like,
I would have fired him.
This might actually be the best sounding episode we've had yet. We'll find out.
I
can't wait to hear how many times my phone is dropped out of my Five Below holder.
At least four?
At least four. I reference it every time because it's hilarious.
Seven. My phone is dropped out of my holder seven times. At least.
If we were doing video of this, you would see Matt and I just roll our eyes every time we see the floor of your apartment.
You would see me and then my ceiling every time. You'd be like, oh, there's David's ceiling. Yep, that's it. Yeah.
But, Matt, you did get me to concede that Marvel's better than Star Trek
right
now.
That's the biggest
concession.
Win. Of
that's
my
an,
life,
I would.
God,
I would never fight
easy
that man.
Argument. That's the.
But the way I did it was so. But the way I did it was so eloquent because I got Jeff to get his old. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to talk about Star Trek, and then I'm going to be like, "Yep, it's dumb, and Marvel's better." So thank you.
Yeah. It's way better. My wife and I talk about this all the time. We're like, "Wow, I really love Marvel."
I did that for you, David. I did that for you.
I cry
I really
at Star Trek 2.
Thank you.
I don't cry for an hour straight though, like I do with Endgame. Come on.
No. Nope.
But Star Trek 6 did do the signatures first, so...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
They did. Anyway, so this has been the Mad Hatter Cast. We are... I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Anyways...
We're done.
We're done.
You're Matt.
You're Matt.
This is the last
episode.
We already did all that. We already did. It's just like muscle memory at this point.
Matt.
Oh, wait. Wait, wait, guys, wait. What what's your daddy's soda today? What are you drinking?
I'm not.
Oh. What are you drinking, David?
It's not what, but how many. That's really where I'm at. Angry Orchard came out with like a multi-pack, and so they have like a peach mango and a strawberry and an unfiltered.
Oh, so you're just responsibly sampling all of it.
Oh, dude,
I just saw you drink something. What are you drinking?
I tried all four.
Ugly
anyway.
Flavored sparkling water.
That's disgusting. It is ugly. Okay.
So I tried.
I've got
all of that. Yeah.
I've got Neon Lights from Alma Gang. It's a hazy IPA.
That's pretty good.
Dude, it's I like Alma Gang anyway, but when their IPA game is on point.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a Belgian-ish brewery, they're pretty good.
It took them long enough, yeah.
Not bad.
So anyways, this has been a Mad Hatter cast. We're signing off. We'll be back next week with episode 4.
Thank God.
And hopefully it's more coherent than this one.
There's no way it's not going to be. If Jeff can shut up about Star Trek.
Are we still recording?
We're still recording. How about I just produce the next one and don't talk at all?
No, we need you to be the Mephisto of this podcast.
If you're not talking,
I'm sort of in the background the whole time, but no one ever knows when I show up, and turns out I'm actually just David's wet dream, and that's it.
Oh my God. Truth.
Anyways, we're done. This is it. I'm hitting stop.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.